Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Talk
Barton, and I thank you so much for joining me tonight, and happy holidays. I am in the mood. I am in the mood. And what got me there was getting to see the fabulous Shay Arender the other night at the Jazz 46 Club, Supper Club in New York the other night for his show, The Original Rockabilly Christmas. I didn't know what to expect, and boy, was I happy. So without further ado, everybody, Mr. Shay Arender. Shay, I hope I'm not butchering your last name.
No, you're really close, actually. You know, in the South, we just say Arender, but it depends on where you're at in the country, you know?
Arender. And, you know, it makes sense when you look at it. Arender. Yes.
Right. Some people
want to add the extra accent
to make it pretty, you know?
Right. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
Just recovering from
the weekend.
Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I really had a great time at your show. I really, really did. I enjoyed it immensely, and again, like I was saying earlier, I didn't know what to expect. Gail said, oh, why don't you come to this Rockabilly Christmas? You're going to have a good time. So I honestly didn't know what to expect, and when you blew me away when the majority of the bill was all Elvis, which was fabulous for me. I'm a huge Elvis fan, so I was thrilled to death. So tell me a little bit what made you decide to do this show anyway. I mean, because you're really from, well, not from Vegas originally, but are you out in Vegas now?
Well, at the moment, I'm not. Currently, I'm in Houston, Texas, but I'm originally from Louisiana, and I grew up with all of the rockabilly music and everything. And, you know, I mean, that whole era of time, you know, with the greats from the Sun Records Sun Studios and stuff and all those guys. And I just wanted to bring something unique to the New York Christmas, from the typical jazz standards, and I love them, but a lot of the people that are doing these jazz and cabaret shows are doing very similar shows, you know, they're very similar. And I thought, okay, well, let me bring something that still fits in with the crowd, but completely different from what they're used to.
Well, it was great. It was absolutely great. Folks, if you get a chance, you got to go check it out. We'll talk more about it later, where you could go see it and how to go see it and when it's playing. But I wanted to ask you now, you know, Carl Perkins obviously is a huge rockabilly guy. And do you think that if Elvis wasn't so good looking, that Carl would have had a better chance out there? I mean, Carl had a great career. Don't misunderstand me, but you know what I mean. Elvis,
right.
You know, just blew up.
Right. You know, I think that that's a very good question, because people ask me this quite often, and I would say this, you know, Elvis in particular, I think what made him so much different is his versatility. His ability to sing the R&B, the country, the rockabilly, the blues.
The gospel.
Just so versatile in his approach, even though he wasn't known, to necessarily be a songwriter himself. The approach to these songs and how he communicated it versus Carl Perkins, this was really the heart of rockabilly. And we did we actually did. Well, it depends on the crowd. I have that. I have a couple of songs that I do from Carl Perkins in there. Of course, you know he wrote Blue Suede Shoes.
Right.
And we just try to keep it. You know, there was only like three or four. I mean, I make a big deal about it, but there's really only like four Elvis songs in the show. The rest of them are like, you know, just the rockabilly cut. You know, maybe Elvis sang it in a concert, or you know, maybe covered it at one time. But I mean, we try to keep it to form. I didn't want this to be misinterpreted as an Elvis you know, impersonator show,
right.
Or
right.
You know,
no,
I didn't want it to be misinterpreted.
Not.
You know,
yeah, it definitely was not. It was not. But I mean, for me,
right.
I mean, every Christmas in my household growing up, we always listened to Elvis Christmas. So, you know, for
right,
me,
right.
And you just really pulled it off on the songs that you did touch on Elvis. And I have to say it was a little odd for me because I've never seen such a muscular Elvis, but you looked great.
Oh,
I've never seen such a fit Elvis before, you know, a performer, I don't want to say impersonator, because you're really
right,
not
right.
doing
well,
that.
Well, that's the whole
but,
purpose, I think.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That was kind of the whole purpose of me, like saying, okay, guys, I'm, you know, this is a real authentic, that's why they call it the original Rockabilly Christmas. I'm bringing an authentic delivery of this music. I mean, this is what I grew up on. I mean, this is our culture. And
right.
and for the fact that I can bring this to I got some really interesting compliments through this process. It made me feel really good because they're like, wow, you know, I'm in New York City, but I feel like this is like a concert, but an interactive museum at the same time. I'm getting like this, and I was like, wow, that's quite a compliment coming from some of the critics and the Broadway,
right.
You know, the Broadway scene in New York. And I was like, wow, well, we're really, you know, it's just a matter of getting people back out again. And that's
yeah.
really been some
right.
of our concerns. And that was one of my concerns when I went to New York, you know, brought this to New York. And, We're making progress, but we would still like to be able to add shows and, you know, finish the season out, you know.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
that's really what we're looking to do and keep everything going. But to answer your original question, I think the reason why that Carl Perkins sort of got maybe a little bit lost in the mix there toward the end as rockabilly phased out. But by the time the Beatles got to the United States in 1964, most of the rockabilly stuff was really – rockabilly was popular between 54 and about 64. After that, it started – not that it wasn't popular, but it was no longer mainstream culture anymore. It was mainstream
right.
culture. Slur, you know, after Elvis released That's All Right, Mama in 54, probably around to the late 50s was the height of, and then as I explained in the concert, how it, you know, developed into swing, and it had its own rockabilly swing, which is kind of like the West Coast dance or the Lindy Hop, and how it evolved. And then we kind of add a little bit of how some of the other musicians, even some of the soul musicians and jazz vocalists at the time, would add a little bit of the rockabilly sound and beat to their live shows to even liven it up more. So we cover that ground too, and everybody seemed to really appreciate that.
Yeah, one thing I really did enjoy about it, not only your talent, of course, because you were fantastic, is that you also are telling the story as you're performing. It's not just a musical journey. It is a history journey, too, because you're telling the story of rockabilly and how it started and, like just now, how it faded away. And so that's what I enjoyed about it. You know, it was a journey of learning it and learning things about it and yet enjoying it at the same time, because you were having a good time listening to the music and the band. My goodness, it sounded like a full orchestra. I mean, it was a 7-piece band. Amazing. your horn section sounded great. But the sound in there was pretty good, I thought. I liked the club. Have you ever played there before?
You know, I've been a customer there for a long time. It's one of the most popular jazz clubs in New York City.
Yeah, I've never been.
A jazz supper club. Yeah, I've been a customer there. I have a lot of friends that have played their vocal jazz shows there. They have traditional jazz and they have the vocal jazz, you know, like the you know, the Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, you know, style, and you know, all the great vocal jazz. I mean, it's been a fixture in New York for 30 years. You know, it doesn't have the history that Birdland has, but it still has a lot of great acts coming through there. I've never played. This is the first time actually playing any shows there. Typically, we would have done something like this in maybe one of the off-Broadway theaters or one of the big ballrooms in New York. Things had been different, but we wanted to reintroduce what we were doing, go so big and not, you know, have to worry about the marketing and all of the stuff to try to fill the venue up, and still uncertain what's going to happen with the situation with COVID, if it's going to go left or right. And we just wanted to play it a little bit safer. And since I'd already had a personal relationship with the people in the venue, we decided to go that route. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Shay.
Hey, Shay? I lost you there for a second.
I know, yes. I'm so sorry to everybody, including you especially. My goodness, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I saw your number was still there, but I couldn't hear you, so I don't know if people heard me. It doesn't matter. We'll get right back on the horse where we were. But, I like the club. I thought it was really – I'd never been there before, and actually it was my first jazz club that I've been to.
Sorry, I lost you again. Hello?
I am so sorry. I don't know what's going on. But I will try to call Shay back. I have his number here, and my apologies to everybody. I don't know what the issue is. It's definitely not me because I have a new computer finally. So let me give Shay a call. Here he is. Hold on. He's calling back in. Let's see if we get him back on. Shay.
Hello. Hey, hey.
Hi. I am so sorry. I don't know if it's my end or your end. I apologize.
Oh, no worries.
Well, so real quick, let's get back to the club. I had never been there before, and I felt like I was in a speakeasy because, and honestly, it was my first jazz club I was ever in, and I loved the sound. The quality of the sound was good. And again, your three-piece horn section sounded like a full section of each piece. So I was quite surprised. It was everything about it was just fabulous. It was a wonderful evening. Dinner was delicious. Did you get to eat? I hope you got to eat.
You know, I didn't get it. I don't usually do it on show nights and everything. I didn't have a chance to really eat the food, even though even some of some food reviewers and stuff, because it is on Restaurant Row.
Yeah.
So I know they had some food reviewers and everything. And to add to what you're saying about our horn section, so another neat thing about our show is that they're custom charts. These horns and everything, that you're not going to hear what we play anywhere. These are all made in-house by our production team. So we wanted to give it as much sound as we could with a limited amount of space that we had.
Well, you did a great job.
That you hear those three horns, they are working very, very diligently to give us the sound that we're looking for, because we wanted to create that powerful sound, and that's basically what we did. And I have some great arrangers that we work with to accomplish those goals. So
they did a great job, because it was fabulous. It really was. And your backup singers were great. The two young ladies, they were fabulous too. I mean, just so full of energy, and you were so full of energy, and every song was just fabulous. And what's your favorite Christmas song, Elvis Christmas song, I have to ask you?
By Elvis personally?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, personally.
That's a good question.
There's so many good ones. It's
hard.
I know.
Yeah, I know it's kind of hard to narrow it down to just one. Well, so the one that I really like is probably one of my favorites personally, no matter who sings it, is I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite. But the version that we have in our show is more – it was a custom arrangement of the song because I wanted to fit right in with that, you know, that rockabilly sound, and it kind of has that. It kind of has that 50s doo-wop feel to it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we were going with this. So I like how we approached that particular song.
Yeah.
But
it sounded really
good. It's
kind
of hard to narrow it down with it. I don't want to say Blue Christmas, and maybe because I don't want to say Blue Christmas because I sing it so much.
Yeah.
So I don't think that is my my jam because it's like every single time I have to sing it, and I don't have a problem. I mean, I like it, but it's not my favorite. You know, I mean, I think there are better. I like a couple of those blues songs that Elvis did, like "Merry Christmas, Baby," "Merry Christmas, Baby." You know,
those are
good.
Yeah,
those are good.
I like. Well, of course, you know, I like "Santa Bring My Baby Back to Me" because I kept saying I wanted to hear that one.
Oh, that's
Santa, bring your baby back
one.
To me. Santa, bring your baby back to me.
Baby, back to me. I need a lot of presents. Yeah. All right.
Come on, go ahead, Shay.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Oh, come on, get us going. But that's one of my favorites. And of course, Why Can't Every Day Be Christmas is one of my favorites. And Mama Like the Roses and. You know,
wow, that's
sort of,
great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we kind of stuck with a little, you know, I only inserted a few of those in. I think I only sing one Elvis Christmas song in the whole thing, which is Blue Christmas. The rest of them were songs and stuff, you know. And how did you like the medley? You know,
fabulous.
That was a custom medley that we had that we used in our off-Broadway show about 7 years ago. That was with Sarah, one of my backup singers, and we had a duet together. And the reason I put that in there is because I wanted people to still say, oh, he actually sang something that we also recognized. Because some of those songs were not your traditional fan favorite like hits because they just weren't maybe promoted at the time or whatever, but like our theme song, Rockabilly Christmas, that's an original. You know, like when you first get to the concert and you hear Rockabilly Christmas,
yep.
You know, those are original modern compositions. Those are not traditional songs. That's like a modern original Christmas rockabilly song.
Well, I asked Gail if any of this stuff was original, and she wasn't sure. And I was like, I think so to myself, because it was a few that I had never heard before. And not that I'm a music aficionado, but I mean, I do know music, and that I had never heard before. And also, the Santa, I never heard the Santa. Oh God, which one? Santa Claus Rock. I never heard that one. Did you write that too?
No, see, that's another. I didn't compose it personally, but that's also an original composition. That's also an original rockabilly composition.
Yeah, I like
and
that one a lot too.
That's fun because it has kind of that backbeat of Jailhouse Rock.
Yep.
It gives you some familiarity, but it's not really, you know, it's not Jailhouse Rock. And then we break out into, you know, you remember the breakdown, we break down into What I Say, the Ray Charles. You know,
dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun,
you know, like, so people were like, wow, that's so cool. Like, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to cover a lot of ground in a very short time because I wanted people to walk away from the concert thinking, wow, I had no idea that rockabilly had this type of connection. I mean, they associated 100%. A lot of times people hear rockabilly and automatically go straight to Elvis, which is fair to some degree, but we have to look at how it expanded and how it grew and the impact that it made on other genres, even though that it the other genres were before rockabilly, but rockabilly, after it took off and people realized the appeal, they actually said, you know what, guys, let's do it. Let's kind of do a little bit of a rockabilly feel to this. And that's how some of these vocal jazz, like that Zat You Santa Claus, that's how some of these kind of have that rockabilly backbeat to it, you know, by the
right.
way, the communication of the music. It wasn't that way at the original, but it become that way as things evolved. And that's what I wanted people to gather for, you know, to get from this, like, walk away going, wow, that was really neat. You know, he covered so much ground. It was such a versatile, you know, from the very intimate ballads to the Ella Fitzgerald,
yep.
you know, As She Hugs Elvis and Carl Perkins Plays the Guitar. I mean, you know, we just covered so much ground, you know, with all the great music greats.
Yeah. And it was good. It was good. So, folks, not you, sorry. I'm talking to you first. Tell the folks when they can see it. I know it's a three-day run, right? A week, per week, right? Or no? Is it every day?
Well, actually, right now, just it's until things change, right now it's just Friday and Saturday nights. So it's Friday.
You lost the brunch?
Showtime at 6:30.
I thought there was a brunch on Sunday that got nixed or what?
No, that was maybe discussed at the early part of the stages, but you know, that really is not much of a brunch show. I mean, if you notice, so one of the other producers, you know, wanted to do that. I mean, you know, the last thing they're going to want to do is a Christmas party night show. I mean, this is like,
I agree.
I mean, I wasn't alive at the time. I'm only 41 years old, but, you know.
Yeah, you're young.
If you can imagine how it was like going to the park, going to a sock hop in the 50s, that's what I want this to feel like.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't walk very well. And when we got out of the show, I said, let's go see the tree. And you know what? I would never want to do that. I mean, I live right next door to New York. I mean, it's not something I would do often. You know, I've done it. Once you do it, you're done, you know. But we were in the city seeing you, and I got so hyped up by the music, and the feeling was there. You gave me the Christmas feeling, and I was raring to go. And I said to, you know, my friend that came with me, I'm like, let's go see the tree. We're not far. Rockefeller Center is right up the street. Let's see if we can do it.
That's right.
So I go to the parking lot. They go, you're back already? You told me to be back at 11. I said, I didn't know. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I said, do you know if the tree's lit? They said, no, not yet. December 1st. That goes to show you how much I know about when they light the damn tree, right? So, but I'm just saying, I got that feeling. So, folks, if you're going to see that tree, man, go get the feel from go see this show. The original Rockabilly Christmas. You have a nice dinner and you see a great show, and you are just full of Christmas for the evening. Because I'm telling you, especially coming off of Thanksgiving like that, to jump right into Christmas. I mean, and I felt it and I loved it. It was a great feeling, and I thank you so much because I had a great time. And so, folks, go check it out every Thursday and Friday night at the Swing 46 Jazz and Supper Club in New York on West 46th, and it's from 11/26, I believe, to December 3rd. Shay, or is that changed?
I think we finished sometime around like the 20th, or I think it's.
Oh, so
we got
extended.
About another
Good.
2 weeks. We got about another 2 or 3 week run here. Yeah, it's we play up until basically up until the week around Christmas.
Well, go to rockabillychristmasnyc.com, folks, and go check it out, and you can get your tickets and for 10% off. Key in the code Rockabilly number 10, not the number symbol, just 10, and you'll get a 10% discount. And go check this show out. You will love it. You will love it. So real quick, tell me when, not that it's an Elvis show, but Rockabilly is synonymous with Elvis, as we were saying. So as an Elvis fan, when did you know that you could sing Elvis so well?
Well, I guess I've always been a child fan. For some odd reason, I remember having this conversation with my mother, and she was like, when I would play these songs and everything, and I think one time, I don't know, maybe it was the way that my hair was combed or something, but somebody would call, you know, it called me Little Elvis or something like that. And then I started becoming fascinated with this. And the very first time I heard it, there's only a couple of artists that I ever felt that way with. And Elvis was the very first one I ever felt that way. Like, it's just has that larger than life feel. The other one was Frank Sinatra. And I got that as I got older. I didn't get into the Sinatra until I had gotten a little bit older, you know, like I was 18, I think. And then I heard Sinatra really for the first time, other than New York, New York. And I'm thinking, okay, there's like one, two, three, maybe four artists that have that unbelievable presence, that timeless presence. And, you know, they were some of my favorites. But I was exposed to the Elvis music as a little boy. So I guess I was about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old when I started like playing around with it. And then I started like they would have like some kind of, I don't know, like a regional contest or something, like a singing thing. And I would come up with something. I would sing like, I don't know, what's the fan, Love Me Tender or you know, something that everyone knew. And everybody, wow, man, this kid.
You didn't do Old Shep? You didn't walk around singing Old Shep like Elvis did when he first did? When he walked around singing Old Shep to all the girls?
That's a sad song. I know.
Don't,
I don't really. It's one of the few songs. I know it was one of his very first ones he sang in a contest, but it was a. I didn't really care that much about that song, to be honest with
you. No,
me
neither.
Kind of, it was so sad, you know?
Yeah. Is this a true story? Yeah, right, exactly. Is this a true story that you were on a cruise ship and the Elvis impersonator got sick or something and you filled in for him and then the rest history for you? Or?
Well, you know what? That is the absolute truth. This was a local cruise line out of New Orleans.
Mm.
And they had how they found me is because I entered into the talent show, the passenger show. The passengers can enter into a talent show. It doesn't have to be singing. You can do magic or juggling or whatever you do, right?
Right.
So I entered into this passenger talent show, and then this, you know, the other guy that does the Elvis role was a professional entertainer. Well, he was, you know, he was unable to, you know, to perform. He was sick or whatever the case may be. And then I remember this is before cell phones, of course. This is like when you gave your cabin room number. So they called the cabin and, you know, asked for me, you know, and I'm really young now. I mean, I was 12.
Wow.
I remember my mother, like, or was my dad or something. I don't know if it was one of my parents, and they said, hey, you know, he's like under 18. Like, he's just like the little boy. Like, he's a child, you know?
Right.
And they
right.
go, look, only thing we need to know, can he dance and can he sing?
He sing?
And they go, yeah, he can do that. And they go, well, if you can just, you know, I think they had to sign off. They had to sign a little waiver or whatever on it. Cause I was underage, but that was just in case, you know, in case I got hurt. Right. It was just more like, okay, you're giving consent that this kid's going to, or whatever.
Right.
And I went there, and that's how it all started. I mean, I did a couple of songs, and I mean, it wasn't a very, you know, I think the dance choreography was probably the most difficult thing for me because I'd already been real comfortable with the singing part.
Right.
It was doing the choreography because they had a full, when we did Jailhouse Rock, we had a full choreography with it. I'm like, geez, you know, this is like, you know, I had to rehearse, like really rehearse on that. And,
right.
But it was, I mean, when you're that age and you're performing in front of 2,000 people and it's just like, wow, I mean, it does something to you. And you just
Now, do you think if that never happened to you, would you have gone on to do so much Elvis? Or, I mean, because eventually you would have done music anyway, right? I mean, but that probably just changed the course of happening sooner than you would have anticipated. But do you think if that didn't happen, you would not have gone so much towards the right of Elvis? Or you just would have just
done
music in general?
Nobody's ever asked me that. That's a great question. I don't really know. I mean, I know that I had to evolve, because after I got old enough, you know, I started actually doing the Elvis and, you know, impersonator. They call it tribute artist now, but
right,
I mean,
right.
It is, let's call it what it is. It's an impersonator. So it was good to me at first because I thought it was cute, but it's like, all right, after you get in your late 20s, it becomes like, okay, all right, you're not so cute, you know, wearing an Elvis jumpsuit at 30.
Mm-hmm.
That, at least that's how I looked at it. I'm like, okay, it was cute when I was 21, 22, even 25. But by the time I got 30, it's like, okay, you gotta make some changes. And, you know, I did wait actually before 30. And then I just wanted to still have the influence, but also be Shay Arnder. I didn't want to just keep doing, you know, I didn't want to be an unidentifiable impersonator, because I knew
right.
I had a story. I knew I had a lot more to offer than just doing, you know, doing that, even though I'm,
right.
you know, still a huge fan, and I love his music. I love it.
Me
I
too.
Mean, it's just, you know, all the above. But at the same time, I still wanted to be me.
Right.
I knew that, and even though a lot about me says Elvis, it's because of my upbringing. I mean, we're from the same part of the world.
Right.
You know, we grew up in very similar circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of common parallels that connect me to Elvis just much more than his music. It's
yeah.
the whole Southern
thing,
the whole Southern
yep.
culture and,
yeah.
and everything. And
yeah.
you know, so I bring a little bit of all that. So I hope when people come to our show that they don't get, you know, that they see that we're doing much more than just, you know, some Elvis songs, that we're doing
right.
a variety of all the different songs. And there's no way for me to completely escape from it, because I know I'm so influenced by it. So even,
right.
even, you know, when you heard us do the medley, those are that's my voice, you know, that's me doing
exactly.
my song, you know,
right.
and it has
right.
maybe
it's
just
not,
an accent of Elvis. You know?
Right. It's not the Elvis show. It's the Shay show. And you'll
right.
see
right.
that
right.
when
right.
you go, when you go see it. But it's funny
right.
you said that in your 20s, you felt awkward wearing the Elvis suit. And I actually thought to myself the other day, I watch a lot of videos and stuff, and I'm like, again, I'm a huge Elvis fan. I think maybe that's one of the reasons he didn't want to like go on anymore, because he was tired of wearing that outfit. And you know, I think maybe if he changed his clothes, it might have helped a little bit.
I think if he would have lived, it would have probably changed. You know, the thing about it is, when he was way ahead of his time on the jumpsuit,
oh,
he
yeah.
was wearing it way earlier. If you think, most of those jumpsuits were worn, that era of time was, he was right in the heart of what fashion was back then. Even
yeah.
though it seemed to be kind of worn out, it wasn't worn out even when he was wearing them. It's just that
right.
he started so early on it that they associated him with that, because you got to think, you know, he dies in 77.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right in the middle of the Greece, the whole bell bottoms,
yep.
and right, you know, just like
yep.
this whole thing. So started wearing them in 1969, and nobody had ever seen anything quite, you know, the way that.
Oh
he
yeah,
wore
they were
them.
gorgeous, yeah, gorgeous outfits.
You
well,
know, and
of
I think
clothes,
after he just.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I just said that he, you know, I think we identify him that way because that was the last time we saw him alive, and you know that it made such an impact, and people identify him that. And of course, at the time he was struggling with his weight, he didn't look like the Elvis that we knew from the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, he's, you know,
right,
he had gained weight.
Right. That's why I think it bothered him wearing the suits at that time. That's why, you
right.
know, I had that thought, because you know he was overweight and wearing those suits, and maybe it was like, I look ridiculous. You know, maybe I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. You know, that because if you said that, think about him maybe thinking that, you know what I mean? But anyway, speaking of clothes, where do you get your clothes? Because I loved your jackets.
There's a company out of Las Vegas that that has a specialty shop, and they
oh.
do. They've been doing my show clothes for quite a while. They got such a nice. I mean, those
yeah,
those
so
are no
cool.
thing. You know, those are very custom fitting and done. And I wanted something that still had that cool flash to them, because
very
that's
cool.
how they used to wear it back then too. Those suits and everything. They were
yeah.
they were as flashy as they could be back then, even at those
mm-hmm.
shows.
Mm-hmm.
And everything.
And it was
so,
very, they're very cool. I love them. That's why I had to ask.
Oh, right, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So tell us about the Las Vegas Symphony Orchestra that you are CEO and owner of. What's up with that?
Yeah, I know, right? All these moving parts. Well, I had to, you know, the music business is a very interesting place to be. It's definitely not an easy path, no matter what path you take in this business.
Mm-hmm.
But I started, so I was working with the Harold Arlen Estate, plays all of this. You know, he wrote all the songs for Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Ella Fitzgerald, all of the vocal jazz
mm-hmm.
greats. He was based out of New York. He wrote Wizard of Oz, all the soundtrack to Wizard of Oz. I was working with them, and then as things evolved, and that's how we were doing some of this to touring shows with the orchestras, and that's how that come about the Las Vegas Symphony. So I had experience as a, you know, I got a business degree, and I went to school, and I studied business management, and then I never really used it the way that I could have used it up until that point. And then that's when I said, hey guys, you know, I really want to, like, I can take this to another level. And so that's how I got involved with that. And we do specialty programming. We're not a typical orchestra. I think we would be more comparable to the New York Pops, more than the New York Philharmonic in a sense of our programming. We have like cool, versatile programming that we do. We have the Motown Symphony. We have the King Symphonic, which is, you would probably love that. That's a full Elvis Symphony. And I perform in that. I'm not in a jumpsuit and doing it. I'm in a tuxedo,
right,
with a full orchestra behind me doing all of his songs, and that's a full Elvis performance there. And we tour that all over the world. Matter of fact, we're headed to, well, we were supposed to head there before all this you know, stuff happened in the world, but we will be going. We're scheduled June the 17th at the Cadogan Hall in London.
Cool.
Doing our performance. That's the home of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
Wow.
And they, for example, so what ends up happening, I just bring some of my principals. So I don't bring the full orchestra, but, you know, we bring some of our first chairs.
Yeah.
And then we collaborate with like some of the people from the Royal Philharmonic or something like that. And we go across. So we're going to be doing like the same thing in Palm Beach, Florida. Mm. We're going to be doing with the Houston Pops Orchestra. So we basically create our productions right there in Las Vegas, and then we basically license them out to other orchestras across the world.
Wow.
Not just in the USA, really the world, because we spend a lot of time, you know, they love our music in Europe. And yeah, and so this has been very good for me, and this is another reason why we chose to do this now, is because I wanted to get back into business, me personally, as a singer and an artist, not as a CEO and a businessman, because
behind the scenes
we get bogged down so much with that. We get so bogged down with, I got so used to being, you know, in a suit, you know, talking to Coca-Cola sponsors or whoever that were sponsoring us at the time, rather than our doing a creative production. So I was really looking forward to getting back on stage, especially after a year and a half. And that's why that I decided to do this there in New York. I knew that Christmas time, you know, Christmas time is not real big in Vegas. It's not a big, the crowds usually are really, really thin pretty much after Black Friday. Black Friday weekend, Vegas goes really, really, really quiet. And we just didn't want to run the show. I may run it next year, maybe for a weekend, and then probably come back to New York or even possibly tour it. That's kind of what I'm thinking about doing.
You're all over the place. You live in Houston, you go to Vegas, now you got to come back to New York to do these gigs. My goodness, how the hell do you do all that?
Well, it's not easy, but, you know, I mean, a lot of these artists, you probably they don't say it in the interviews, or maybe if you look it up, maybe they do. But a lot of these artists are in a very similar position. I have a place in Houston, and then Las Vegas, and then of course in New York. And I just I'm in and out and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's great. You know, I really, as Southern as I am, I really like New York, you know, overall. Like I just like the whole vibe and the energy there. I the people that come to our shows are all usually really, you know, they're there because they want to be there. And they're like, they're so immersed in what I'm doing, you know, and sometimes in Vegas, you don't get that. Sometimes in Vegas, you get the crowds that come in that don't, not that they don't want to be there. They're just so distracted about everything else going on.
Yeah,
you know?
They just can't believe they lost a lot of money. They can't believe they lost a lot of money.
Right. You get some weird
crowds. That's what's on their mind.
Now,
oh, my God, I got to go home and tell my wife I lost all this money.
Right. Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. As they're with their girlfriend. That's the catch.
Right,
they're with their girlfriend, but they got to tell their wife that they're right. Okay,
yes,
yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah. You
I mean,
gotta
not that this don't go on in New York, but.
Right, exactly. You got to somehow get over to that tree lighting and perform at that. Is there any way you could do that, lock that in, or what? I mean, how could you make that happen? Because
I think we probably could have.
You could do the medley? You could do Blue Christmas and then the medley?
A few of my contemporaries were there.
Wow.
Sorry. Yeah,
I'm
I
excited.
Think Nora Jones was there. I think that she got invited to go. There was a couple. She has been promoting her Christmas record since September. I mean, it's like, geez, okay, we get it, you know. But, I mean, once again, no one's been on tour. Everybody's been waiting to see what's going on. No one's been on stage for a year and a half. It's been a very interesting time. To answer your question, yes, we come up with this. We come up with this concept to do the original Rockabilly Christmas when I was finishing up. I'm the executive consultant on the Trial on the Potomac with Rich Little. We just finished a 6-week run in New York in August.
Well, Rich has been on my show.
I was there closing.
I don't know if you know that. Rich has been on the show. I've had Rich on my show.
I think so. Yeah, I didn't realize it was the same one, but yeah. So he was. We were having closing week. And I flew in. I had just flown from Portugal. I just landed in New York, and then I went to Swing 46. And they were like, "Oh my God, long time no see." Yeah, some, you know. And then we had that conversation, and then I sat down with the owner and the manager, and they were all having a conversation, and I said,
there
"Can this
go.
Be a reality?" And that's how this happened. This happened that quick. If we would have had lead time on this, we would have definitely been able to, you know, spread things out and do more activities in regards to like the special lighting, the Macy parade, all of that. So
I just got very excited for you to do that. I want you to do it. I think
it'd
be a great addition to the tree lighting. It'd be fabulous. You'd wake them up.
That I know, right? That would be something to discuss for next season for sure.
Yeah, Might have missed the boat
on that
one for this year.
I'm not sure where we're going with this after this. So
yeah,
we're gonna have to see where we're going with this.
Speaking of albums, do you have a Christmas album out?
You know, I had one that come out about 2013, and they're like four or five like originals.
Mm-hmm.
And then we released a Broadway edition when we did the show back years ago, which was a Christmas show that I did in New York. And it was a Broadway edition because we just put some of our live recordings on the former album.
Well,
I
think your original Rockabilly Christmas is its album right there. That's that whole set, that whole evening is an album. That's an album.
That is absolutely true. Yeah, that is true. We didn't have any plans on on recording that yet, at least to this point, but I'm sure we'll get something done before.
Yeah.
You know, before the run's over, before the season's
well,
over.
Well, speaking of all this music and your voice and how great you are, why don't we play Boppin' the Blues, pardon me, so everybody can hear what we're talking about, Shay?
Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
All right.
Yeah, that's
folks,
the Carl Perkins song.
Yeah, but this is you. It's Carl Perkins wrote it, but this is you.
Yes, me, yeah.
Exactly.
Right, yep.
Well, folks, let's give a listen to Shay Arender, and this is Boppin' the Blues. Check it out. You're really going to like it. You're going to love Shay. I love him. I love him. I love him. Here you go. Boppin' the Blues.
Well, all my friends are boppin' the blues. It must be going round. All my friends are boppin' the blues. It must be going round. I love you, baby. It must be rhythm bound. Well, the doctor done told me, Shay, you don't need no pill. Yeah, the doctor done told me, boy, you don't need no pill. Just a handful of nickel in a jukebox will kill your ill. Well, all of my breakfast are popping the blues. You must be going round. All them boys are popping the blues. You must be going round. I love you, baby. You must be but I never be the same. I said, hold my breath, I said, I'm popping the blues. It must be going round. Hold my breath, I said, I'm popping the blues. It must be going round. I love you, baby. I must be rhythm bound. Let's get it, cats, let's rock.
Get Shay Arender's music, because you've got a lot more than Boppin' the Blues.
Yeah, I mean I'm on Spotify and all of the social streaming platforms. I mean, there's some stuff on the Las Vegas Symphony Orchestra Spotify and YouTube channel as well. So, yeah, we're really going to be releasing a lot more in next year, because during quarantine, we had been just in the studio recording and stuff like that. I'd been doing a lot of, you know, finishing up that Elvis record, the one that the King Symphonic that has all the Elvis songs on it. And all that. We're going to be doing
good.
All of the, yeah, that's all going to be released. So we're going to be have a lot more online presence with that coming up. But yeah, you can, there we I'm still available, I mean, on all the streaming platforms that people like. So.
And is there a Shay Arender website as well?
It is. Yeah, yes. It's shayarender.com.
There you go.
It's basically just an informative page at the moment because all of our efforts have been directed to the Rockabilly Christmas NYC.com for the moment. Mm. So it doesn't, yeah.
There's not enough memory in the computer for a website for you because you have so much going on. But,
well,
man, that sounded great,
I really
Jay.
Need to clean it up, to be honest with you, and put all of the stuff that we have going on so people can see us in different cities or you know, or able to contact our press and our press person and everything. I really appreciate you coming out to the show.
Oh, I loved it. Loved
we're,
it.
We had a really nice. Did you come on opening night or was it?
Yeah,
the
I was
Saturday?
There Friday
did
night.
You?
I spoke to you after the show.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you remember.
Right,
but yeah.
Right. I remember. I just didn't. The Friday and Saturday kind of bled together because man, I was drained. I mean,
I bet.
After that, I was just so like, wow, I can't believe this, you know.
Well, you put a lot of energy into it, so I mean, every song is that's what I said to myself. There's a reason why you're all beefed up and muscular like that because damn, doing all these songs, they'll knock you out. I mean, they're an aerobic thing in themselves, you know. It's a workout. These songs.
There's no question about that. It is definitely
And Shay, definitely, I felt that the music was just going through your body. You had no control of it. It just went right through you, you know. Your moves were not planned. They were just, the music was in you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
that's, right.
That's
well, that's
your
good.
Movement.
That's good.
Yeah, no, that's the way I saw you.
I appreciate
so.
It.
Yeah, but folks,
thank you.
Go check it out. Shay Arender at Swing 46 Jazz and Supper Club in New York every Friday and Saturday night, 6 p.m. showings, I believe. Right, Shay?
Well, I think it starts at 6:30, but people start coming in there around 6. But the actual – the show starts at 6:30 and it goes to 8, yeah.
Yep. And it's a three-course dinner show. Great, great performers, all of them. You know what was so funny about that, Shay, when you guys finished up? For me, it was weird watching the guys close up their cases, you know, break down the stage, and then just all go their separate ways and walk to their houses down the street, you know, because everybody lived in New York. So it was so weird to see for me because I know usually everybody loads into their cars or a van and everybody goes home, you know. But watching people after a gig just pack up their stuff and say, see you tomorrow, and then they go to their houses, you know, their apartments was so weird for me. But I've never seen
that's
that before.
Funny. That's so true. Yeah.
But yeah, again, guys, go check it out. Especially if you're going to do a Christmas night in the city, go checking out the sights and going to the tree. Do this first. Go get a nice dinner. See a great show. Meet Shay. He makes the show very interactive. He comes into the audience, even the girls, the singers come into the female singers come into the audience, and just a fabulous show all around, Shay. And what a pleasure to see it. An honor to meet you, and definitely a thrill to have you on the show tonight. I can't thank you enough.
Absolutely, I really appreciate you as well. Thanks for all the support and thank you for having me on your show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Shay. Merry Christmas, and thank you so much, everybody. Shay Arender, thank you so much. Shay, take care. Thank you so much. I had a wonderful
thank you.
Evening.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye,
to you.
Shay.
You too.
You
thank
too.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No, Shay, you're supposed to say, Merry Christmas, baby.
Well, Merry Christmas, baby.
Take care, Shay. Thank you so much, honey. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm telling you guys, if you're going to do a night in New York, I haven't done it in years. I mean, like I said, once you do the tree, that's it. Well, for me anyway, let's like go into the zoo. I'm like that with the zoo. You see them, you walk around, that's it. I'm done. You know, I'm not going to hang out at the zoo. Why hang out at the zoo? I went around, I saw all the exhibits or whatever you want to call it, the animals. I'm done. So I don't need to go back there again. So That's just me. But, yeah, what a great show. And such a cool little club, Swing 46 Jazz and Supper Club in New York. It's at 349 West 46th Street in New York. And the show opened on November 26th, and it's running through December. Not sure the end date right now. Fridays and Saturdays, 6 p.m. It's a 90-minute show, I believe. But, again, the food was fantastic, too. It was delicious. If you're driving over, there's a parking lot right there, about three buildings down, $35 for New York. What a steal. And after seeing the show, I got all hyped up. I wanted to go to the tree. I didn't care if it was going to kill me to walk there. I was dying to do a Christmas thing since I was there. And, you know, I haven't been in the city in years, so. And it is Christmas time, so. And it's a beautiful time to be in New York. So go check this out. You'll really enjoy it. Go to rockabillychristmasnyc.com and to get tickets. And for a 10% discount, put in the code rockabilly1010, and you get a 10% discount. And so cool. And listen, I didn't get a chance to talk about this. I've got Amy Grant tickets to give away. She is doing a Christmas show over at the NJ Pack. And we've got two pairs to give away. Hang on, I got a paper right here. Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith are doing a Christmas show on December 5th, Sunday at NJ Pack, courtesy of NJ Pack. Thank you so much. I love you guys. We don't have much time to win them, folks, so give a call. All you got to do is call in. No questions asked, no contest. Just call in the win, 646-478-0999. So we probably only have one more chance to give them away on the air, and that would be tomorrow. Sorry, with the holiday, I took some time off, so that's why we haven't been on the air. So doesn't mean I wasn't busy. Believe me, I was. So tomorrow night on November 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern, we've got singer Lisa Penagos, and you're gonna love her stuff, club stuff, dance stuff, and she's really, really good. And not only is she a talented singer, she's also a beautiful individual human being. Met her about maybe 3 years ago, prior to starting this show. I had her on a show that I was on prior to starting Applause Radio Show. And she was like one of our first couple of guests in the first couple of months. And, you know, I want to do her justice and have her on this show and do it the right way. So tomorrow night, November 30th, Lisa Penagos, 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to listen in. Go see Shay Arnder over at Swing 46 Jazz and Supper Club. You're going to love it. Check it out. Let's close it out with Bopping the Blues. Take care, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night. Thank you, Shay. Shay Arnder, everybody. Thank you. Bopping the Blues.
Well, all my friends are bopping the blues. It must be going round. All my friends are bopping the blues. It must be going round. I love you, baby. It must be rhythm bound. Well, the doctor done told me.